It's time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Christopher Luxon.
Earlier today, Noah spoke to National MP Christopher Luxon for their weekly chat. They discussed booster vaccines, Auckland's lockdown, and the National Party's identity given the strength of the Labour Party at the moment. Noah started by asking Christopher Luxon whether he was pleased the government has started making plans for potential booster vaccines.
Well, look, I mean, I think, you know, we're in lockdown because we have been very slow on vaccination, and that's the reality, and it's been the right decision, no doubt about it. The reality now is that, as you think about it, I think we already have about 72% of New Zealanders that have committed to either booking a vaccination or have already had a first dose or a second dose so far. So you've got to believe by the end of the year we need to be sort of, you know, like the best countries in the world, above 80%. And then the focus becomes, how do you really focus on what comes next? And while there's been conversations going on about boosters, there's no big orders, as I understand it, that have been formally laid down yet. And you've got places like Israel and the US that are already into their third doses. You've got some New Zealanders that were vaccinated back in March and April, and the effectiveness of those vaccines and the requirement for boosters needs to probably happen before the end of the year as well. So there's quite a lot to sort of think through the next phase, which is fundamentally, have we got the boosters in place? And I don't think we have. Have we sort of turbocharged the vaccination program? We've got all the most vulnerable people that we need sorted. Have we got the vectors that we need to get vaccinated, like young people, like Māori Pacifica, like older folk? Have we maximised the rollout? If I think about the use of GPs and pharmacies, there's obviously more work to do on Māori Pacifica. And have we got a plan for the future? And the future really needs to be around, you know, let's get those boosters ordered immediately and in good quantity. Let's make sure we order the therapeutics and the other drugs that we would need to treat COVID in our ICU units and hospitals, likewise with ventilators. And then I think thinking around tracking and masking and how some of that stuff will be compulsory, as well as vaccination passports.
Do you have any idea when you'd like to see Auckland move out of level four?
Yeah, to be honest, Noah, I think it is pretty tricky. It's difficult for us because, you know, really the government has all the expert advice and they'll be looking at that very closely. And I think, you know, we've been supportive of having to go into lockdown because it was really the only tool that we had given the low vaccination. But I can tell you this time, I saw my Facebook page, I was just telting a story yesterday of a letter I got, an email I got yesterday morning. And what I've observed over the last 2 weeks is that the businesses here in Auckland, and I've been getting it across the country a lot as well, are doing it incredibly tough. And essentially, there's been some real challenges on people getting their wage subsidies and also getting their resurgence payments. Unlike last lockdowns, it was actually outstanding in terms of how well the government managed to, you know, people were able to apply for those supports and then they were able to get paid into their bank accounts within 12 hours in some cases. This time around, it's been very different. And so people have been struggling to secure the wage subsidy and the resurgence payments and actually get the cash into their businesses, into their accounts, into their staff. And then the second challenge that's different is that a lot of the landlords last time were quite accommodating, but this time they're under some pressure, having, you know, absorbed a lot of potential losses or reduced revenue themselves, and they're not being as accommodating for tenants this time around. And if you've got, like I spoke about yesterday, a small business that has got 16 staff, it hasn't been able to get the wage subsidy and the resurgence payments through. Its rent landlord is asking for full rent, yet it has zero revenue coming through the door, usually does $200,000. And now you've got a situation where those two owners, the husband and wife team who own that business, have had a huge, you know, the woman wrote to me saying that she had been under huge mental anxiety, stress and pressure, and had actually been, you know, referred to for mental health support and medication. And so you just sort of sit there and go, the toll on businesses is phenomenal. Every day I'm getting 3 or 4 or 5 stories of just, you know, people are doing it really tough and having some disastrous consequences in terms of mental health, stress, pressure, anxiety.
I want to talk a little bit about the National Party. Matthew Hooton, who used to work for the National Party, I believe, wrote an article over the past week. And he was sort of, some part of the argument was that Labour's sort of taking over National's conservative space, with, it feels like, Labour perhaps going a little bit more conservative, and then I guess National somewhere in the middle between Labour and ACT. Do you think there's a distinct space for National still?
Oh, look, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with our centre-right politics or principles. And the National Party, if you just go back to its origins, you know, was founded with a constituency that was essentially, you know, rural and provincial folk, as well as small business kind of enterprise in the cities. And it's called the National Party because it's really about acting in the national interests. It's not a identity politics kind of party that's got a narrow sort of support base. It's actually a party that actually is trying to appeal to all New Zealanders, and historically has. You know, so if you think about, it's been the natural party of government since it was formed.
It does right now, even if historically, because do you think it's a bit broad, but the farmers and the rural folk of New Zealand, who a lot of whom voted for Labour last year, do you think Nationals won them over yet, or they're still with Labour?
We have political cycles. You remember there was a Helen Clark and government that went for 9 years as well. And so what you're really interested in is getting back to the core values of the party. And, you know, these are values that are built on things that are things like individual freedom and choice, you know, personal responsibility, rights and responsibilities, limited yet better government, competitive enterprise, open markets, equal citizenship and equal opportunity for people. And so those values are incredibly attractive to many, many New Zealanders.
And those values not being promoted by Labour and ACT as well?
Some of them maybe, but I don't think they promote them in the same way that we believe them as a party. And that's why it's been the largest mass party membership party in the country. That's why people believe in it. Now, we've got, as we and I've talked before, we've got work to do in this particular moment in time to make sure that we have good unity within the party, because we have moderate conservative, moderate liberal, we have urban, rural, we have different economic views within the party. And that's a very good thing. And that's what's made the party have the broad appeal that it's had. But we've got to keep working on unity. We've got to keep modernizing the party. And the most important thing is we've got to get our messaging relevant. We've got to take those principles and apply them into the problems and the challenges and the opportunities that New Zealand has in front of it, and make them relevant to New Zealanders.
And is that being done right now when we speak about party unity and these values? Is that a work in progress? Is it there yet?
Yeah, look, we're making good progress. And, you know, and I get, you know, there's media, and I get it when you're in a cycle. Everyone wants to pile in, and everyone wants, when you're down in the dumps and you've come through a tough election, it's very easy for every commentator and every punter to sort of beat up on us. And I get that. That's all part of it. I've done a lot of turnaround jobs in corporate life. It's very similar in some ways. But, you know, you got to come back to the core principles, the core values, make sure you're expressing them, making them relevant, modern, contemporary for the times that you're in. And that's the bigger, longer term arc that we're focused on. And I can tell you, you know, go look at what Nicola Willis is talking about in housing. Look at the work that Erica Stanford's doing on immigration. Look at the good work that Chris Bishop's been constructive but provoking on COVID-19. Look at what Simeon Brown's talking about around law and order. Look at what Matt Ducey, as I said, has been doing on mental health. So, you know, those are the things that are happening. And I appreciate it. In the Punch and Judy of politics, people sometimes focus on the surface stuff, but get under the surface and understand the arc of where this thing's going.
Is the diversity of the National Party something that is being worked on? From just those names you listed off quickly there, it is pretty majority Pākehā, from what I can tell.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, you and I've spoken about this before. If you'd looked at the National Party list going into the last election, if we'd got 35% support across the country, we would have had a very diverse caucus. So our issue is, we've spoken about that. I mean, we got 25%, and as a result, our list didn't deliver because we had electorate seats and list seats that meant that we ended up with the mix of people that we've got. What I would put to you very strongly, though, is that on the other side of politics, you've got a standard profile. You've got student body politicians who've become staffers and advisors to MPs and ministers, who've become MPs and ministers, and have a very narrow beltway, insular, Wellington-only sort of view of the world. None of the top six in the Labour government have ever run a business. They haven't done it. They've all got the same profile: student body politicians, advisors to Helen Clark, professional career politicians, right? And so that's not diversity either. And so I appreciate you can react to visible minorities. You can talk about a whole bunch of diversity, but, you know, having led large companies where I've tried to make diversity a core part of the culture of a place, you've got to look at diversity through many lenses. You can look at it through gender, you can look at it through ethnicity, you can look at it through sexual orientation, you can look at it through thought. And I'll just say to you that, you know, I think we have a lot of diversity of experience coming from our caucus. We always have, because of our broad nature of our party. Whereas if you've been a union organiser, a local body politician, or a student body politician, that's the starting point for a Labour person. It's always been the case, and that's the case. And that's why they struggle today. It's lovely doing communication and spin all you want and talking about the world in glowing terms. But as President Obama said to me at dinner once, he said, you've got to be able to have an arc of where you're going, and you've got to have good day-to-day management and execution of getting things done. And people lose faith when you actually can, you know, set expectations, promise a vision, and you don't deliver upon it. And that's what's happening. Take education, take healthcare, you know, take, we can take any topic, immigration. You know, we've got a whole bunch of problems in this country, and these guys can't get it done because they're not diverse enough or have that experience. So I appreciate the challenge around diversity, but, you know, and I get it, I understand what you're saying, and we've got to make sure we represent all communities of New Zealand in the National Party. Our peculiar problem was a function of a really bad election result, but it doesn't mean that we're not committed to diversity or have diversity within the caucus.
Cool, well, thanks so much for speaking to me today. Have fun at your select committee.
That was National Party MP Christopher Luxon. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM.